We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy. Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
We are breaking down all aspects of Yankee baseball. This is the Bronx Pinstripe Show with your host, Andrew Rotondi and Scott Reinen. Let's go.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Bronx Pinstripe Show, episode 555. The five.
555.
On Friday fives, 555.
Oh, shit. Oh, my God. Blow my mind. I didn't even think about that.
We didn't even play. You know, back when we started this podcast in March of 2015, it was all leading up to this very moment. As we sit here on June 3rd and record. June 3rd, oh, you got a birthday coming up, don't you?
Ugh, don't remind me. Yes, it's coming up.
Is it the big one or was that last year?
No. Remember. Like none of them matter. I mean, none of them have mattered for a while, to be honest, but no, it's not the big one. It's even more depressing. You add a one to it. So, what does that even do? That is lunacy. Doesn't even make sense.
Okay. Let's just dive right into this weird-ass baseball team. The first takeaway
they
from
are
the
a weird base. They are a weird baseball team. They are a weird freaking baseball team. They're one day this, one day that. It's not like that's baseball, Susan. This is different. This is different. They're just, they don't know what they are on every given day. They're multiple personalities going on here. Like multiple. It's not just it's crazy.
They're a schizophrenic baseball team, and sometimes they get away with things. Like, they got away with, I think, a lot of mistakes this series. They're kind of lucky to even have split the series against Tampa, but they did get two wins. And then you're going into Thursday afternoon. Tampa's looking to get out of town, and you have Gerrit Cole going. You have to win that game. I'm not about to shit on Gerrit Cole because he's still been an amazing pitcher this year, but it's an extremely disappointing performance on a day when you could take 3 out of 4 from Tampa, when you're kind of reeling and you could have, like, really, you're not stepping on Tampa because they're still in first place, but you're making a statement if you take 3 out of 4, especially after the way you lost on Monday. And I know the umpire sucked today. The chart went around, James Smythe tweeted it out, on called strikes between Gerrit Cole and Ryan Yarbrough. Yarbrough got like 7 or 8 pitches off the plate on the left-handed batter's side. Mm-hmm. No question about it. They're not strikes, or they were at very best borderline, and he got those calls. And I don't even care if he's getting the calls. I just want Gerrit Cole to also get the calls. You just have to be consistent. And Gerrit Cole didn't get the calls. But that doesn't completely excuse the fact that Cole didn't pitch well. He was leaving balls up in the zone. And in the fifth inning, he got tagged for 4 runs. A couple of the hits were a little soft, but the Rays took advantage. And I'm sorry, you had you had a chance to take 3 out of 4 with Gerrit Cole on the mound, and they didn't do it. And it's very disappointing fourth game way to end this four-game series.
This is one of those games that you definitely, I mean, you win two and it's a four-game set. You have an opportunity now to take 3 of 4 against Tampa. So, you know, I know we've talked about not closing out a three-game set with a sweep in the past, but this one felt like it was very obtainable, obviously, because Cole was on the mound. So yeah, disappointing in that sense. But again, I was walking into this series a little different and being okay with a split based on what happened in Detroit. So, you know, for looking at the big picture with Boston coming up, it's, you know, splitting with them isn't the worst thing in the world. So I understand that, but there's some opportunities. You feel like you could have won it, but at least you had the opportunity and you felt like they were in position.
Now we're happy with opportunities, Scott.
No, but when you're happy to be there,
was as a participation trophy.
It's not. But when you're in position to win 3 of 4 with Gerrit Cole on the mound, that's a different thing. Gerrit Cole had a bad day, and that's unfortunate. You know, the offense obviously didn't help matters either. But Gerrit Cole had a bad day.
If Gerrit
Cole normally does what he does, you're winning 3 of 4. So they were in position with Gerrit Cole on the mound. I like that. That's okay. Then they split.
Cole has not done what he does in the last 4 starts. So if you're just looking at his numbers over those 4 starts, 23 innings, he's got a 4.3 ERA and his strikeout to walk ratio is 26-8. In his previous starts over 52 and 2/3 innings, he had like a 1.27 ERA and a 78-3 strikeout ratio. So the strikeout to walk ratio is really the big difference here. 26-8 isn't bad by any means, but 8 walks over the course of 4 starts, 23 innings is a little uncharacteristic for Gerrit Cole.
Well, he was going on a ridiculous streak where he hadn't walked a guy, you know, in however many strikeouts. So he hadn't walked a guy in forever.
Like 50,
so he
50 was strikeouts. I don't expect that to be sustainable.
Well, that's what makes the numbers, I think, skewed as well. So, you know, take a little off of what that number is for the first half or the first part of that those stats because of that streak. So it's not repeatable by any means. But yeah, it should be closer. There's definitely a middle ground here that we're more used to, but no, he has not had his good stuff his last 4 starts, and it's unfortunate because I think today he comes out, pitches well, Yankees win 3 of 4, feels like a different thing with Boston, yep, with the Boston series up.
And Boone did flip out at the end of the game after the Yankees are already down by 8 runs than the umpire.
That's a good flip out though. We've been criticized Boone's, you know, timing and when he yells at people, really, because in the past this year, it's been to cover his own ass. He's just frustrated because he was sucking. This one was like, okay, you've been bad all day just for our guys. We have our ace on the mound who absolutely deserves the calls that you're giving to Ryan freaking Yarbrough. Why are you not doing this? And he should go out there and essentially defend Gerrit Cole for this and his guys. So yeah, I get it. This was a good opportunity for him to voice and to get his guys back. Like, okay, I like that. That's what he should be doing. It was a blowaway game. Fine. Get tossed. Good
by that you. Point, though, I'm turning the game off. It's like, whatever.
All right. Well, that was the first takeaway. First look back was Gerrit Cole. Number 2 is the Yankees lead the league in outs on the bases. This has been, unfortunately, one of these mind-numbing, bash your head against the wall moments when we're talking about, you know, a team having multiple personalities. Well, they're not. I don't know what personality it is that is the dumb one, but the dumb one is the personality that they have when they're running the bases because they don't know what they're doing.
And that's the thing.
They're making these plays that are with the ball in front of them, which is just infuriating when you see that type of stuff. It's crazy to see Major League Baseball players run on a play that they don't have to run while the ball is on the ground in front of them.
That's the thing I'm like, I don't get. Okay, you make a bad read on a ball trying to go first to third. That's fine. One thing. You're on second base and there's a ground ball hit to shortstop and you just take off.
Your head's up your ass.
What is going on?
Your head's up your ass. This is the kid that's running laps in freaking high school practice. Like, what are you doing? This is basic shit. And it's happened multiple times here. So I mean, I'm drilling my little leaguers for this stuff. if they do it. And I'm expecting them to never do it.
Kemp's not even making these mistakes. It's like this
Kemp's
happened
running first to third. Literally, he's just forgetting about second base.
He's going straight across. He's pulling an A-Rod running over Dallas Braden's mound. But this happened with Gary Sanchez in the seventh inning on Tuesday. And then in the seventh inning on Wednesday, Gio gets thrown out at third, trying to advance on a pass ball. It wasn't a pass ball that he should have been trying to advance on. But at the very least, Gleyber Torres needs to be heads up and say, oh, the guy's running to third. I need to also go to second. He didn't do that. And then two pitches later, he gets picked off at first base. These are fall asleep mental mistakes is what's happening. It's not being ready for the situation. It's okay. It's like Gary Sanchez gets on second base. This happened with Clint Frazier too, about a month ago. He got on second base. He's like, I haven't been here all season because I don't get any hits. Oh my God, what do I do? I'm on second. Oh, the ball just got hit. I heard the crack in the back. I better run. Not understanding. No, there's no one behind me. There's no force plays. There's not two outs. Have your head in the game for me. Come on, guys.
Especially when you know, things aren't going your way, when things are not going well at the plate, or, you know, the team's not winning, you got to do those other things correctly. The things that people take for granted that are just innately in you because they're fundamentals of the children's game that you're getting paid millions of dollars to play. You should follow those fundamentals and they should be there. They shouldn't even have to be. We're talking about like you forgetting the fact that you can't run on a ball on the ground that's in front of you when there's no force play. What are we doing?
How do you fix that though? That's the thing. It's like it keeps happening and I don't see it getting better. So, I mean,
Of course it's going to get better. It has to get better. They just need to not do it. They know not to do it. They just need to actually not do it.
But what do you do if you're the coach?
You say stop being stupid and running on balls.
You don't think they've
in front of you on the ground
that?
When there's no force. No, I don't think he said that. I think he needs to say that.
How many more outs on the bases?
You know what happens when we're getting to a point now in Kemp's life where he needs consequences if something does wrong. Like he otherwise he just keeps going. You need to have consequences. Clint Frazier.
Right. Okay. So there's a thing.
Take away the Jordans.
Hey, Clint Frazier
no
had
more,
a good week.
No Jordans. No kick pictures on Instagram for a month. Next time you get right
so,
out. Like
it's interesting.
Know,
so
start,
instead
start
of
having some kangaroo court.
Instead of, actually, that's actually a good point. I don't know if they're doing kangaroo court. So instead of giving rewards for good behavior, you're punishing for bad behavior, right?
Oh hell yeah. On a Major League Baseball team, yes. But not for I mean, you do both for children,
about.
If we're talking about here. No, I'm not
I'm only 4 months in. I'm only 4 months in.
There are learning moments here. So there are different ways to phrase it. Again, Bevan is a... early childhood education professional. So glows and grows here. It's not like positives and negatives, glows and grows, all these things that I'm learning myself. However, professional athletes, there should be like a mockery of you in the clubhouse internally if something happens. There should be consequences.
So
you got to do it publicly, internally, just handle it.
Oh, so this is, as people might know, I'm a Patriots fan, which probably makes me hateable, but there's stories about how if a guy on Belichick's team fucks up in a game, he will play the video footage in like the next week's practice in the meetings, and he will just eviscerate someone if they made a bad mistake like, for like 10 minutes.
Those types of things are way worse than any fine or anything you can think of. Like amongst your peers in the clubhouse, it just needs to be internal. I don't care if I hear about it. None of us need to hear about it. Media doesn't need to hear about it. They just need to handle this stuff internally. They need to police it internally. And that's Aaron Boone's job.
But is he the guy to do that though? He's not a disciplinarian.
It's not a disciplinarian. It's a matter of building a culture of accountability. That's what it is. It's accountability, internal accountability.
Well,
if we are all not accountable for doing our job at the very basics, then we cannot win. Therefore, we have to be held accountable internally to our teammates. And you do something, whatever that looks like, that is across. Like nobody wants to do it. Nobody wants to be that guy. Don't want to be that guy. That needs to happen.
I haven't seen accountability yet.
We haven't seen anything outside.
We haven't seen accountability with this team yet. Because these mental mistakes.
I mean, Gleyber had some, when Gleyber made those mistakes, was called out for not running. We saw like immediate things. So I don't know if that was just something internally where he was just embarrassed.
We talked about this on the last episode. It's like the reversion. So, okay, you do one thing stupid, fine, don't do it again. But these things keep happening. That's the baffling thing. All right, then the number three thing is I want to do a little eye test versus nerd test on Miguel Andujar. So we haven't done eye test versus nerd test in a while, but I figured he's a good candidate to have it done because he's been playing better and they've been trying to get his bat in the lineup a lot more. They even put Aaron Judge in center field on Wednesday in order to keep Andujar and Clint Frazier, who are both playing well. Talk about Frazier.
I appreciated that move. I appreciated that move because you know what it did? It didn't sit a guy who was hot. Actually tried to get a guy in who was hot. In fact, novel two concept. Guys in. Wow.
So overall this season, Miggy's numbers still are not great. He's hitting .243 with also a .243 on base percentage. So still no walks on the season. A .338 slugging, which is a 60 WRC plus bad. But if you drill into some trends here, you actually see some better numbers. And the eye test would say, he's starting to hit better as he gets more regular plate appearances. You agree with that?
For sure. Yes, definitely. That was something that we made some assumptions with him that he needed those at-bats.
So since May 20th, he is hitting .310. This was actually before today in which he went 1-for-3, so still applies. He's hitting .310 right with a .310 on base percentage and a .118 WRC+. So these the numbers back it up. Or if you drill a little bit deeper into those numbers, he's not walking. He does have 13 hits, which two home runs, one double, but a 28.6% strikeout rate, which is too high if for a guy like Andujar. I don't care about walks with Andujar because he's not up there to walk. He's up there to hit the ball. He's up there. He's a bat to ball guy, and he's striking out 28% of the time just in the span since May 20th. So I'm wondering if he's actually being more consistent and like these hits are real, or if he's just getting a little lucky here, like small sample size alert. But I was kind of alarmed by the 28.6% strikeout rate because that's far too high for Andujar.
Yeah. And I think it's so a couple of things. Miguel Andujar has always been a good bad ball hitter, right? So he's able to hit the ball out of the zone, but clearly, when you're swinging at balls out of the zone, you're going to miss more often as well. And so what that leads me to believe is that his plate discipline or his, you know, the comfortability or whatever he is still not there yet, but he's not walking. So therefore, some of those pitches, he just needs to be, you know, identify as non-impact pitches, pitches that he cannot barrel up. And I think those strikeout numbers will go down because that's pretty high for him. I would expect it to be closer to 20%.
Well, his 2018
walks,
season.
I'm not expecting him to walk. He doesn't walk. I don't want him to walk.
2018 season, 16% strikeout rate.
Okay, so it's even lower. Yeah. Okay.
4%.
That was my next question. What was it before? So 20% was even higher. So for sure, that is telling me that the plate discipline is just not there yet, and he's being a little too aggressive at this point.
Over under.
And he can get away with it a lot of times with some of these singles because you. Again, bad ball hitter, so he gets away with it occasionally.
Over under on Miguel Andujar walks this season, 5.5. Is he going to get to 6 walks this season?
If he's still playing the rest of the season and he's got playing time, yes, he will get those walks.
It's going to be a stretch.
Because I think he doesn't need a lot of walks, but if he's getting some, it's just that tells me that
he's
seeing
the
ball better over the plate.
I don't care if he gets any walks.
I know, but it goes along with, I think, his barrel. I would guarantee here, this is a Scott Rennie guarantee, that when in those walks, when you're seeing more walks, you're also going to see a higher barrel percentage, I bet.
Well, it does. I guess you could say it leads to more plate discipline and swinging at strikes more often. And if he's swinging at strikes, then we hope he hits the ball on a line and gets a base hit. Like that's like,
right.
And be aggressive early in the zone. Like don't try and work the count. Like we kind of criticized Clint Frazier for that early in the season where it's like, okay, I know you had a .396 OBP last year, but you were like taking the first three pitches of every at bat. It's like, dude, eventually swing the bat and try and do damage.
Right. Yeah. And I think Miggy will get to that point. But yeah, I think that he doesn't need a lot of walks, but will just be a clue that he's seeing the ball better and able to make better. Because as we're seeing that, I guarantee that, you know, we start seeing a few walks, the barrel percentage go up, and we start seeing Miggy two bags again. And he's smoking the ball in the gap, and we're going to see
Miggy left field.
So that's That's kind of the progression of him. Miggy left field, Miggy first base, anywhere but third base, apparently.
Well,
he hasn't been a problem.
We've seen that. We've seen the third base experience. It's not good.
I said anywhere but third base.
Oh, I thought you meant like they won't put him. Like, I thought you were saying, why won't they put him there? But you're saying,
no, anywhere but third base. Apparently he's fine. Cause the bat plays, the bat's always played. All right. Next thing is Clint Frazier coming in clutch. Number four, Clint Frazier coming in clutch in multiple facets. Diving, another diving play out
and
in
he
right
needed
field
it. Where he it, needed the dive. It looked he doesn't like always need the dive, but he
that
needed
one for
one.
Sure. He needed the he dive, needed the but dive. He was also a little hesitant because Odor was coming out. So you could say that the read wasn't the greatest, but yes, at that moment he needed the dive, fully outstretched, caught the ball. You could tell that Odor and Frazier were both a little hesitant because they were kind of getting close to each other in no man's land there. But great play. Very, very good catch. And then, yeah, he's been smoking the ball and walks it off. Gotta love that. That swag with Frazier looks good on him. And I think it really does help him at the plate because that dude is just, he's loaded with confidence when he's going.
I mean, they stole that win on Tuesday, basically, with the diving play and the walk-off home run. And it's, totally stole the win on Tuesday. Could have easily lost the on Wednesday. And this kind of goes into number five. It's like these wins aren't convincing. I know a win is a win is a win. Just scoreboard, baby. Did it go in the win column or the loss column? It went in the
and
win
that's
column.
That's what you need, though, in the beginning. To get that after Detroit, it doesn't matter. You just get in the W column because at that point, now you can kind of put that in the past and move forward. You got over the hump. You stopped the bleeding.
Right.
In any way.
That's why I don't know. I don't know what this team is.
I don't think anybody knows what this team is. I don't think anybody knows what this team is. If somebody tries to tell me what this team is, they're full of shit. They have no idea what they're talking about because they haven't been watching. Then this team is insane. They're multiple personalities. Like you said, it's a good way to describe it. So there's no real stamp on what they are. When they're going well, I think that they have a better approach at the plate and they're not trying to hit the ball out of the park. That to me is a good. Them going well is actually taking it back a little bit and being able to make better contact. I see the ball being sprayed. And in fact, when they have that approach, the ball's still flying out of the park.
Quick thing. So every Monday, MLB.com does power rankings. So after the Yankees got swept in Detroit, they put their Yankees at 7 in the league, not in the American League, just in the across baseball. Do you agree with that? I feel like that's high for how this team has been so sporadic.
Yeah, it does feel high, but it also tells me what's happening with the rest of the league, right? There's a lot of teams.
There's a lot of bad teams
down,
in the league.
A lot of mediocre, a lot of bad offense, which will play into making a lot of teams probably feel like they have multiple personalities with the offense being as down as it is. You see home runs leave. You see a couple guys get hot and there's wins and then an entire team gets cold.
Yeah, doesn't it feel like more than any year streaks are just, I feel like it's who's going to be hot at the right time. I know that's always baseball, but as far as this division goes, like who can turn a streak into a division win versus just grind it out over the long haul?
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, we got five looks ahead. We have a big weekend series versus the Boston Red Sox. Yankees are going to be facing Eovaldi, Rodriguez, and Richards. And the Boston rotation has been much better than we all thought. I know you spoke with Chad Jennings to talk about the Red Sox and what's going on up there. Eduardo Rodriguez, who I guess is supposed to be their best starting pitcher. I mean, you look at their pitching on paper and it's trash. It's absolute trash. That's why I think a lot of people expected this team to be
at the
bottom half of the league because their pitching is trash and their offense, they're going to score runs, but I still think that they're going to fall below because I think this pitching is going to continue to weaken.
Look at the numbers though. Everyone's pitching decently except Eduardo Rodriguez. So you figure if Eduardo Rodriguez can figure it out and those other guys they don't fall off the cliff and they just get a little worse. Like but their offense is the reason they're winning games. Really, their offense. Of course. They've got the second best offense in the American League behind Houston, and it's really carried by their, as I talked to Chad, their four big hitters, and that's something the Yankees aren't getting right now. The Yankees aren't getting carried by their four big hitters. They've got Judge, who's been consistent, and then it's like hopefully someone else shows up tonight. With the Red Sox, they know every single night Xander Bogarts is going to show up. JD Martinez is going to show up. Devers is going to show up. Like, they have these consistent bats night in and night out, and then they might get something out of the bottom of their lineup every night.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm hopeful. I'm still hopeful that the Yankees will find some consistency. I know we're going to talk about him in one of the upcoming ones, but DJ LeMahieu just can't go on this long. Can't go on as much further without seeing, a crazy hot streak. It's coming. It's definitely coming.
Okay, let's just talk about it right now then. The number two thing is, when is that hot streak from DJ LeMahieu going to come? Because right now, his WRC plus on the season is 93. We are more than two full months into the season and he's below league average. The last time he was below league average offensively was in Colorado in 2017 and 2018. He was below league average. And if you look at his numbers through 50 games this year versus last year, he was hitting 364, 421, 590. This year, he's hitting 262, 345, 338. I mean, it's like not even the same player.
Yeah, no, it's something's off for sure. And today, I had the game on the side. It was a day game. We're recording this Thursday night, but I've never seen him more frustrated ever. And I know the umpire was frustrating for him as well, but I've never seen him visibly as frustrated as he was today. I mean, he almost lost his shit in the dugout, smashing the bats a la Brett Gardner. Like the guy's visibly, visibly angry and frustrated at himself. You can tell. And, he just doesn't show that. He doesn't show those emotions. He's the robot. He's stoic. He's the guy that just consistently is doing things. And, he's not used to struggling like this. So you can see it all over him. And, if other players, I said this about Glaber, when I saw Glaber get frustrated, it made me feel a little bit better because it's just like the affirmation that this guy cares. I'm not saying that these guys don't care. Of course they care. I know that they care. But when I see DJ LeMahieu do that, I feel bad for the guy because I know he's so much better than that. And he knows he's better than that. And it's just, you could tell that he's trying and pressing and trying to figure it out. And whatever he's doing is just not working. And one day, it's going to click out of nowhere and he's going to be lights out. It's going to happen soon. It's any day. It's around the corner.
Yeah. And so he's been so good for the Yankees. And it's like, I'm looking at his StatCast data right now and barrel percentage, bottom eighth percentile in the league. And I'm like, holy shit. Like that's terrible. But I don't know that he's ever been a top barrel percentage guy. So I don't know that that's so 2020, he was bottom 9% in the league in barrel percentage. Okay. So barrel percentage isn't the same for DJ LeMahieu that it's going to be for Giancarlo or Aaron right. Judge, where it's like, these guys are just hitting, he's a bat to ball guy. He's going to spray the ball around the field. So, okay. That's not necessarily concerning. Expected slugging. He's the bottom 27th percentile. That's pretty bad. So I'm trying to figure out where he was expected slugging. But again,
you're looking at this. You're looking at a guy who you want to see DJ LeMahieu getting hits. I mean, at the end of the day, you can look at all the nerd stats as much as you want. he needs to be on base and he's making contact. He's hitting singles and doubles. If the ball's flying out of the park, great. But for him to be, you know, at his, even at his peak, like the ball will fly out on a line drive. Not these are, he's a gap guy.
How about this? Strikeout percentage last year, 9.7% strikeout percentage. He struck out under 10% of the time. What do you think it is this year?
25.
17.2. It's not astronomical, but it's a pretty big difference from last year.
Yeah, it's a big difference. And we're what, 60 some, how many games are we in right now? We're about 50.
We're a third of the way through the season. We're 33% of the way through the season. Like, sample size, you can't always
comparing
just point
it to last
to
year,
sample
though,
size
amount of
anymore.
Games is pretty, it's
about the same right games, about yeah. the same number of games.
So
listen, I'm not saying DJ LeMahieu sucks. I'm not going to be that guy. I still think he will figure it out. But the point here is he needs to figure it out so soon because they need all their good guys to start playing well if this offense is going to turn it around. It's not going to come from Brett Gardner. It's not going to come from Mike Ford. It's not, who's not even on the roster anymore.
Scott,
it's not going
to
come from
Scott.
Wait
for the Scott. Wait for the weather to get warm.
Right. It was 90
right,
degrees.
So on Friday, we're playing the Boston Red Sox, and we all thought potentially Davey Garcia was taking that start. Nope. Michael King taking the start, getting the ball. Maybe this is like a hometown game. Rhode Island kid? Did he grow up a Red Sox fan? I'm wondering.
Nope.
Did he grow up a Yankees fan?
No, we talked about this when he was on the pod. He did grow up a Yankees fan. I called bullshit.
So maybe there's some anger there. Maybe this is like a strategic move because he hates the Red Sox with a passion growing up in Rhode Island and can muster up something a little different.
So he said he's a Yankees fan because his dad's from Rochester.
Okay. So I don't know. Yeah, it's I mean, Garcia was not good. His last start.
Nope.
Clearly they did not like what they saw. He was not great in Scranton either. You know, I think that when he was down there, he's got to get his location back and really fine tune that location again. So that he's not getting into these bad habits. You know, one of the knocks on Davey Garcia coming up was throwing strikes, being around the plate. And if he falls back into those tendencies and not around the plate, I mean, he just becomes like anybody, a very ineffective pitcher, because now you become much more predictable with whatever you could throw for a strike on a given day.
I'm not going to lie. A little worried for Michael King versus the Boston offense right now with the way things, even though Boston has struggled this week, but still. And the reason that King or Garcia or whoever is going to be starting, it's because Corey Kluber's out, as we know. And we got a cryptic injury update from Aaron Boone today, who said that Kluber's original timeline for return is still about the same, 8 weeks, but, quote, the course of action is different. So
what does that mean? What does it all mean, Basil?
What does it mean,
He's
Basil?
Throwing. There's a throwing program coming.
So if he's still out 8 weeks, why even bring up that the course of action is different? Like, this sounds like Cashman speak. It sounds like Brian Cashman told Aaron Boone the course of action on Corey Kluber is now different. And Aaron Boone just had that floating around his head and he had to say it to the media.
So he's going to be throwing soon. That's positive.
Originally,
or are
the
they
timetable,
trying to see if something's messed up even more and like we might have to go to surgery?
So originally the timetable was 4 weeks no throwing, 4 weeks ramp up. Now the course of action is different. That tells me he's going to throw sooner than later. Because if he was going to throw past the 4 week mark, they wouldn't say that. And then the 8 week timetable wouldn't be the same. So I guess they've decided, because Kluber got like a second opinion, I believe. So I guess,
you know,
they're going
to all this leads me to believe, to be honest, like if he's going to be throwing soon, then, and they're just talking about this 8 week window, he's just keeping it where it is because they've set it. And if it ends up being earlier, then great, but they're not going to set expectations for people thinking that it's going to be any earlier. That's all we're looking at here. There's nothing to see here. He's fine. He's going to be just fine. I'm going half glass full here because, to me, glass when a pitcher's full. Throwing again, that's what? That's a good
you
thing.
You said half glass full.
Glass half full is a good thing when a pitcher's throwing rather than him not throwing.
Unless something starts to hurt.
K-I-S-S. Keep it simple, stupid.
Hey, that's
look at
my
what he's
thing.
Doing. Is he throwing the ball or is he not allowed to throw the ball? He's allowed to throw the ball. Coming sooner, good thing.
Coming to a mound near you. All right, the last thing is, okay, I don't want to look ahead of the Boston series, but the good news after the Boston series is the Yankees punching bag is on the calendar for next week. Three games against the Twins, and that can only mean one thing. Good things for the Yankees, because the Yankees
have like 19 ex-Yankees on that. That team is like all ex-Yankees at this point. It's the 2014 Yankees.
The Yankees have been stomping all over the Twins hopes and dreams for 20 years, and nothing can rebound a baseball team, the Yankees, like a series against the Twins. And wouldn't you know who's going to have the pitching matchup on Wednesday? Gerrit Cole versus J.A. Jahap.
And oh my, that, so if that doesn't worry you, I don't know what would, but
they're a bad team. They're terrible.
J-Hap coming in. Michael Pineda.
The Yankees are going to Minnesota. Yankees are going to Minnesota.
Yeah, I mean, coming in like to play. I didn't mean at Yankees.
You worried J-Hap? This is the J-Hap revenge game? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I think it is. I think this is at Jake Caves on this team. Ref Snyder's up.
Ref Snyder.
No, he's on the IL. Yeah. He came up, and now I guess he's on the IL. I forgot about that.
You just got so excited.
I did. I'm just glad to see him in a major league uniform again.
They've got good for him. They've got Pineda.
And Caves on the 60.
Yeah, the Twins like to get all the Yankee scraps. So all I'm saying is win the Boston series, and then maybe you can get on a roll because you've got your punching bag next week. Okay, that's going to wrap it up for today's episode. Remember, guys, continue to call into the voicemail line, 646-480-0342. We didn't do them this last Monday because it was Memorial Day holiday. And Bob, the intern, was not there to do it. Scott and I weren't about to splice those voicemails together. So call up the voicemail line. We want to hear from you guys. There's a lot to talk about, bitch about, be happy about. Who the hell knows? So do that. Send in your mailbag questions, and we will talk to you guys on Monday.
Hey, guys. Thanks for listening to the Bronx Pinstripe Show. Make sure you find us on iTunes and subscribe so you can get all new episodes directly onto your phone. If you do like the show, we'd love for you to take a minute and give us a 5-star rating and review in iTunes. It really helps us out and allows us to create more shows. We're on Twitter at Bronx Pinstripes and the same on Facebook. You can always find us there talking Yankee baseball. Thanks again, guys, for your support. Really appreciate it. And go Yankees.